Hello, kiddies. It is only me, your friendly gravekeeper. And welcome to the Ohio Hauntings and Legends podcast. We will be taking you to places you have never dreamt of. Hundreds, if not thousands, of haunted and abandoned locations. We will visit with the paranormal of your nightmares. Try to understand the unexplained. We will hear some old-time ghost stories that were told around the campfires years ago. Ohio has 88 counties within our state, and virtually each one of those counties has a story to tell. Ohio's history is bloodstained throughout its history. There are legends to tell, tales that have gripped towns and cities across Ohio for centuries, that have been told as true events. Many of the forthcoming episodes are real. Others may be hearsay or legend. It is your choice to believe or not. Dim the lights, grab the blanket, and get ready for fear to visit you.
What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen as in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for a little spooky in your weekly. I'm, of course, your host and narrator, Henrik Kuto, and we have quite a little nasty tale of Christmas coming right up for you. And I know you're going to enjoy this one because it's a nasty piece. But first, I want to take a moment to say thank you so much for joining us for another scary story during your very busy holiday season. If you love the show, please consider subscribing on your favorite podcast app. And if you have time, maybe leave us a little 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. It really does help us out. And if you want to go one step further, you can go to weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon. And for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to exclusives like a brand new Weekly Spooky short dropping next week, and so much more, while helping us guarantee that the show keeps going every single week. I also want you to know you can email us at weeklyspooky@gmail.com, and if you have a scary story you think is right for the show, I want to see it. And maybe everyone else will get to hear it. This week's terrifically macabre piece is about what happens when you're truly naughty. I don't mean you steal a couple cookies or shove little Jenny down on the playground. I mean when you end up on the absolute top of the naughty list. Maybe you'll luck out. Maybe it'll be forgotten. But I've always heard a certain gentleman checks the list twice, so I wouldn't count on it. So let's get to the story after a quick word about how you can support us on our Patreon. Weekly Spooky is brought to you by our generous supporters on Patreon. Get access to exclusive podcasts, videos, and more for as little as $1 a month when you go to weeklyspooky.com and click on the Patreon link. Your support has gotten us to 100 episodes, so join up today and help us create another 100 and beyond. Head over to weeklyspooky.com and join the Patreon. The Naughty List by Keith Tomlin. Andy Price, 12 years old, went to sleep on Christmas Eve in a dry, warm bed in the St. Luke's Home for Wayward Youth and woke up on a cold, damp stone floor. He groggily sat up and looked around the large chamber. A dozen other kids about his age were also waking up, each looking about with the same dazed and confused look that he had. There were 3 girls and 10 boys, including Andy, all wearing their nightclothes. Andy stumbled to his feet, reaching out to the nearby wall to steady himself. The wall felt cold against his bare hand. He looked closer, and it seemed that the walls, and even the ceiling, were made from ice. A dim luminescence emitted from the ice, creating a soft light that lit the entire chamber. Each wall of the square room had tunnels that led off of it, and the tall ceiling had a large circular hole in the middle. Some kids began milling about, exploring the cavern and looking down the corridors. Others remained seated on the floor, unable to believe what their eyes were telling them. Andy stood apart against the wall and studied the other kids. He knew that knowledge was power, and he wanted to gain as much information as possible to ensure that he would, as always, come out on top. As he studied the kids, he began to sort them into categories. Are they weak or strong? Are they a threat? Can he manipulate them into doing what he wants? How can he use them to ensure that he will win whatever sick and twisted game this was? All of this came to Andy as naturally as breathing. He always got what he wanted, and nothing stood in his way. No teachers, no laws, not even his parents. Andy was born to Greg and Mary Price, a young couple living in Chicago. Greg was a junior architect and Mary was a kindergarten teacher. They had met in a Bible study class and soon fell in love. They married and, within a year, Mary gave birth to their first child, Andrew, or Andy, as he was lovingly called. He was a perfect baby, never crying, never raising a fuss. When he was 8 and small pets and animals started disappearing around the neighborhood, no one suspected the quiet Price kid. They put the disappearances down to rumors of coyotes roaming the Chicago suburbs. When Andy was 10 and bigger pets began disappearing, some neighbors did begin to point fingers at that odd Price child who always seemed to be watching them with a hint of a knowing smile on his young face. His parents never suspected their son was anything but a perfect little angel, at least not until they brought home their second child, Susan, when Andy was 11. Little accidents began to happen to the baby. Mysterious bruises appeared, and they twice found the baby choking, having somehow swallowed a marble and a coin. The final incident was when the crib tipped over during the night, and the resulting injury required Susan to have surgery. When his parents began to suspect that Andy may be behind these accidents, an electrical outlet started a fire that only Andy survived. Loud, eerie music, reminiscent of the tune you would hear from a jack-in-the-box toy, began drifting down from the hole in the ceiling. It slowly increased in volume until it shook the walls. This went on for so long that Andy thought his eardrums would shatter. He pressed his palms against his ears and fell to the floor, screaming for it to stop. And suddenly, it did. A few heartbeats later, a high-pitched voice began reciting a poem in a hypnotic, sing-song voice. Judgment passed, trial done, judged naughty everyone. No games, no rules, no referee. 2 choices, fight or flee. Survive the night, only 2 ways, kill the monster or escape the maze. The voice stopped, but the echoes rang along the corridors for minutes before finally fading away. Andy struggled to his feet as a grinding sound, like an old, rusty gate being opened, shook the room. Seconds later, a massive creature dropped from the hole, landing heavily on the floor. The creature stood up straight, twice as tall as Andy. It had an ape-like body that was covered with long white fur. It roared, opening its oversized mouth to reveal rows of razor-sharp teeth. The creature's long arms flexed as its powerful muscles rippled beneath the long hair. Each hand had long fingers that were tipped with wickedly sharp claws. The creature slowly swiveled its massive head to survey its surroundings. Most of the children, who had been shocked by the reveal of the monster, snapped to life and began running for the nearest tunnel. This seemed to amuse the creature, and it threw back its head and roared again, this time in anticipation of the hunt. When the creature first appeared, Andy had slid along the wall and ducked into a side passage. He peered out around the corner and watched the chamber quickly empty of children, except for two. One of the younger-looking kids, a petite girl dressed in a pink nightgown, had curled into a ball on the ground and kept repeating, "This is not happening," over and over again. The other kid, a red-haired boy, stood pressed against the wall, his face filled with horror and disbelief. A large wet stain had appeared on his Marvel superhero pajama bottoms, running from his crotch to his ankles. The creature clicked his tongue as it walked over to the boy that was standing. It seemed to smile as it gently reached out one claw hand and slowly wrapped it around the boy's chest. It pulled him close and stared in his eyes before it raised his other hand and flicked a finger out, slicing the boy's throat. It seized the boy's head in its free hand and bent it back like snapping open a pixie stick. It raised the child above his head and let the blood flow into its mouth, blood splattering all over the creature's face and chest. When the blood stopped, the creature flung the lifeless body across the cavern. As the creature turned to face the girl on the ground, she began chanting, "This is not happening," louder and more frantic. The creature's arm shot out and grabbed her by the ankle. In one smooth motion, it whipped its arm around, slamming the girl's head into the wall. It split open and splattered blood, bone, and brains all over the room. As the creature began to feed, Andy's mind raced, searching for possibilities of how to control the situation. He had always known what to say and do to ensure that he got what he wanted. Now his mind came back with nothing except panic. This was new to him. Andy had never before tasted fear. He turned and ran. The passages were wide, at least 8 feet across, and not quite as tall as the starting chamber. Side tunnels ran off of this one in seemingly random intervals. Echoes seemed to have a life of their own and reverberated all around Andy. He heard the echo of the girl chanting, "This is not happening," as well as the wet, hollow thunk of her head hitting the ice. He could also hear echoes of something large moving quickly. Andy felt disoriented and began choosing passages at random, trying to put as much distance between him and that creature as possible. More screams echoed through the halls as the creature found another victim. After a few minutes, Andy paused, gasping for breath. As he looked down a side tunnel, he noticed that it opened up into a room. He skulked along that corridor and peered around the corner. The room was large and had ceilings as tall as the first chamber. Along the far wall was a wooden rack with metal items arrayed along its length. It took Andy a moment to realize what was on the rack. "Swords?" Andy whispered. As Andy took a few steps forward, a boy dressed in Transformers pajamas charged into the room. "Run! It's coming!" he yelled. Once again, Andy turned and ran. Andy didn't know how long he ran. It seemed like days. He heard screams echoing all around him. unclear if they were old screams echoing their way back around, or new ones. He ran out of one tunnel into a larger corridor, and had to immediately duck as the largest of the children tried to take his head off with a sword. You stay away! I don't trust you, and I'll kill anyone that gets too close to me! The boy screamed, swinging his sword in the air as he backed away from Andy. He moved past a side tunnel when a blur of white sprang out of it. The creature leaped at the boy, pinning him to the ground. It began to tear limbs off the large boy like a child might wings off a fly. Andy ran. After a few minutes, Andy ran into a chamber with four children standing in a semicircle, each holding a short spear. The tallest of the kids pointed to a wooden rack of spears behind them, saying, "Hey kid, grab a weapon. We're gonna kill that damn thing." Andy ran to the rack and snatched one up. Nodding at the tall boy, he walked over to the left side of the phalanx, making sure he was closest to the exit. The kids stood at the ready, watching for the creature. As ready as they were, the attack happened so quickly, only the tall kid was able to bring his spear up to attack. The creature burst out of the tunnel that Andy had come through and smashed into the circle of kids. Tall kid was able to put a spear in the side of the creature, but the powerful beast barely noticed. The creature knocked over two defenders with one powerful blow and grabbed tall kid in the other hand. Andy turned and ran. Panting with effort, Andy ran as fast as he could. Looking back, he saw one of the other defenders, a young girl with long hair wearing sweatpants and a shirt with a peace sign. She ran up alongside him, matching his speed, and gave a small nod. Andy nodded back. They ran together for a few seconds before he heard the creature roar and felt the ground shake as the beast pursued them. Andy didn't dare look, but he could tell the creature was gaining fast. The girl gave him another quick look and a shrug as she increased her speed and began to pull away from him. Andy tried to dig deeper, but he had nothing left. The creature was getting closer, and he was running out of options. He then realized that he was still holding the spear. His mind started to race through the potentials. Attacking the creature with it would do nothing except get him killed. He could drop it and hope that it increases his speed. Or, as soon as his mind came up with the third possibility, he acted without even fully realizing what he was going to do. He thrust the spear forward as he ran, and just barely, he was able to catch the girl in the back of her thigh with the tip. It wasn't a deep wound, but it was just enough to make her stumble and fall. He ran past without looking down at her. A few strides later, her scream and the sound of snapping bones echoed in the hallway. The passageway led to another room. Andy ran into it and stopped for a second to catch his breath. He felt the ground shake and knew the creature was making its way down the hall towards him. Just as Andy was about to run down another passageway, the kid with the Transformer pajamas came stumbling into the room. He held a wounded arm and was panting heavily. "Hey, kid," Andy said. "I owe you one from earlier. This way is safe. I'll catch up to you in a second. I just need to catch my breath." Andy pointed back the way he just came. "Thanks," the Transformer kid said as he started moving down the corridor that Andy just exited. As Andy turned down another passage, he smiled as he heard screams and a beastly roar of triumph. Minutes or maybe hours later, Andy was cold to the bone and could not control his shivering, but he kept running. His feet were leaving bloody footprints with every step, but he was numb to that, as he was numb to everything else. He ran without thinking, letting his subconscious guide him through the maze. After an incalculable amount of time, he entered into a large oval room, bigger than any other he had seen so far. He slowed down as he noticed that there were no other corridors leading off of this room. As he walked further into the massive chamber, he noticed a door at the far end. Andy approached the door, A painted sign that hung over it had a single word written: Exit. Andy reached out and placed his hand on the wood of the door. It felt real. A tear ran down Andy's cheek as he realized that this was not an illusion. He slowly turned the door handle, and the door clicked and began to open. A sharp, icy breeze blew in from the outside, and Andy started to take a step forward to cross the threshold. He suddenly stopped when he noticed shapes in the darkness outside. Dozens and dozens of little humanoid creatures stood around the outside of the exit door. Andy could feel all of their eyes on him.
"Is this a trick?"
Andy yelled at them, but did not get a reply. Andy tried to think, to push back the fog and fatigue that clouded his mind. Shaking his head, Andy realized that there was only one choice, and started, once again, to step through the door. As he lifted his foot, a powerful hand grabbed him around his waist and lifted him in the air. He was spun around to face the creature, its black eyes drilled into his mind, his soul. It seemed to smile as it drew him closer. The thing opened its mouth and with a deep rumble croaked out a single word.
Naughty.
That was the last thing that Andy heard before the creature's teeth tore his head from his body. The creature greedily fed and tossed the corpse behind him as it started to move back into the bowels of the maze. As Andy's lifeless body hit the floor, the sound of bells echoed through the maze. The creature grabbed its massive head and fell to the floor. As it slumped over, the little humanoid creatures began to flood into the room. These little creatures, known to some as elves, formed a circle around the fallen monster. When the bells stopped ringing, the elves began to chant in their high-pitched voices, chanting ancient and powerful words long forgotten by humanity. As the chanting grew louder, the white fur that covered the creature's body began to turn black and crumble into ash. Its bare skin started to smoke, giving off waves of intense heat. The skin rippled and pulsated and soon began to flow like lava, forming a mound on the floor. As the mound cooled, the skin hardened into a shell, into a cocoon. As one, the elves stopped their chant. They stood silent and unmoving, watching the cocoon in awe. The minutes stretched on. The silence in the chamber was deafening until suddenly a large crack echoed throughout the room as the cocoon split open on top. The elves sprang into motion. Most of the elves clapped, cheered, and danced. A few ran forward with small hammers and chisels and delicately began to chip away at the shell of the cocoon, reverently handling every small piece they chipped off to the other elves, who carefully carried it through the exit door. After minutes of chiseling, the side of the cocoon burst open, spilling its contents onto the stone floor. Gallons of thick, greenish-yellow liquid poured from the hole, and, with a splash, a tall, rotund man with a long, white beard slid from the cocoon onto the floor. A large group of elves rushed forward, some cleaning up the liquid with towels, others gently wrapping the man in heavy blankets and carrying him out into the cold, dark night. Santa Claus opened his eyes and looked around the room, stifling a yawn. His face turned from confusion to concern when he noticed that the room was filled with his little helpers.
"Why, hello, everyone. Is something wrong?"
Santa said in his deep, booming voice, his hand stroking his long white beard. One elf stepped forward and gave a small bow. In a high-pitched, squeaky tone, he said,
"We're sorry to wake you, Santa, but it's Christmas Eve, and..."
"Christmas Eve?" Santa interrupted. He leapt out of bed, almost knocking over a score of elves. "I overslept again! Prepare the sled, gather the gifts, I have millions of good little boys and girls to visit tonight!"
The elves cheered as Santa grabbed his black boots off the floor and rushed out of the room. The elves kept cheering as they followed Santa out of the bedroom. All except one. This elf walked over to a small writing desk and sat down. He removed a quill pen and a parchment from a drawer. Dipping the pen into an inkwell, he wrote, "Naughty," across the top of the paper in a smooth, elegant font. He then drew 13 lines underneath it. He put the pen down and sat there, waiting. Waiting for the new list of naughty boys and girls for next Christmas Eve. Who's feeling that warm, cozy feeling that only comes with the Christmas season? Because I sure am. Now, of course, our macabre attitude about Christmas may be a little unusual to some, but if you're listening to a show called Weekly Spooky, I think you're in the right place, and I want to say a huge thank you to Keith Tomlin, my good pal, for writing such a disturbing and satisfying tale, which in my opinion was as charming as it was scary, like a horror version of a big glass of eggnog. And speaking of thanks, I want to also say a big thank you to all of our brand new Patreon backers. We just hit 80 backers. That's the most we've ever had. And if you're sitting there thinking, maybe I should make a little difference this holiday season, now would be a great time to go to weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon. Or, if maybe Patreon's not your way, we have all kinds of cool merchandise like coffee mugs, t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies, and more. Just go to weeklyspooky.com and click on store, and I guarantee you there'll be something to keep you warm before we chill you to the bone every Wednesday. And an extra special thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, folks who put in just a little extra so they can hear their name on the show. And those folks are Gino Lyons, Karen Wiemet, Jack Kerr, Jeff and George Hilton, Craig Cohen, Rob Fields, and Kevin Fry. Thank you guys so much. It means the world to me. It really does. And if by any chance you happen to be in the Canton, Ohio area, I'll be at the Oracle for the Nightmare Analog Film Festival this Saturday, December 11th, showing my film Babysitter Massacre and doing a meet and greet Q&A afterward. I'd love to see you there. It's free to attend and all donations go to charity. All right, my friends, I think it's time I get out of here. So for myself, for my producer, Dan Wilder, and for my composer, Ray Mattis, I will talk at you later.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.